Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you.
God. I want you to know what the scripture is.
May all our satisfaction be Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for tuning in and welcome to tonight's show. I am one of your hosts. I am Tanisha, and our other host will be here shortly. But thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Today is May 15th, so we're halfway through the month of May. It's 2022. It's 9:12 p.m. Central Standard Time. So excited to be here. Looking forward to hear what the Lord has to say. And I actually already have an idea because Terrence and I were just talking on the phone before the show started tonight. And I'm really excited about the word that God has for us as a body of Christ and looking forward to hear what he has to say to us individually to edify us, to encourage us, to keep us going, to do his will and his work in this earth. So before I came on, Terrence and I were just talking like we always do. And we'll start talking, and a lot of times we'll be talking, and the Lord will just start. He'll just come through the conversation because we always leave ourselves open to God speaking and being a part of our conversations. And he started talking about we were talking about how people don't realize the grace of God, because Terrence was in a situation some years ago where he was going through a really nasty court battle, and things were being said that were not true, and the other party was bringing people, they had brought people to basically lie and testify about the things that were not true. Well, come to find out when he went day one for this case to begin, there was a whole bunch of people who we knew was gonna basically lie for the other party, and for whatever reason, court was canceled that day. And so then they rescheduled it for like a couple days later. And Terrence was he was there by himself. I was working. I wasn't able to go. And plus, they didn't need my testimony for that particular case. So they rescheduled it for like maybe a couple days later. So he shows up a couple days later. Same people are there, a whole bunch of people. And he's just flabbergasted because he knows these people. So he's like, they should know my character more than anything. You would think that they would be saying, no, this isn't true and all this other kind of stuff. Well, once again, court got canceled and they rescheduled it. And so I think this happened maybe two or three times that they rescheduled court. And by the time it was heard, none of the people were there. It was just Terrence against the other party. So it was, you know, their word against his word, basically. And Terrence was successful in that case. And I told him, I really believe that the reason why it wasn't heard the two or three times, I can't remember how many times it was rescheduled, is because of God's grace and mercy for the people who were involved. Because the word of God is clear that we reap what we sow. And sometimes you can be doing something and you're trying to do a favor for a friend or whatever the case may be, and you don't know what kind of seed you are sowing. And all harvests are not created equal, right? Those of you who garden, my dad, when I was coming up, had a landscaping business, so I know a little bit about the way landscaping and gardening work. I'm not an expert or anything like that, but I have a background with it because of my dad. And we used to, in the summers, that's how my sister and I used to earn our money, because we would go to trips with him in the summer. Some of his clients were residential clients, small yards, some were huge yards, some of them were commercial, so we saw it all. But all harvests aren't created equal. You know, you could live on a property that your grandfather planted an apple tree several years ago that you're still yielding, that same tree is still yielding fruit from that seed that he sown all those years ago before you were even thought of or born. Where some plants or some trees or whatever, you know, after so long, they die. They have like a lifespan, and then you have to replant. So all harvests are not created equal. But I told Terrence, in God's infinite grace and mercy, he spared those people from bearing false witness and lying, because we don't know the magnitude of the seed that they were going to sow. You know, sometimes you can sow a seed and get a quick harvest, and that's just that, and there's no more to it, where some you can continue to get a harvest over and over again. You just never know. But I started talking to Terrence about how a lot of times we do that in life, we're not mindful of our seeds, right? Because when you really think about it, we are patches of dirt that are animated by a spirit, right? Because who we really are is our spirit. That's who we are. We possess a body, right? We're stewards over our body. We are an ownership of a body so that we can do the work here on earth. But we're spirits that are housed in a body that is made from the earth. Because when God formed Adam and Eve, he made them out of the dirt, which is no surprise that we have dominion over the earth because we're made from the earth, right? We are literally complicated plants, in a sense. Just like when you study plants, we have a lot of the same characteristics of plants. We shed, right? We're dusty. You get a white rag with some Dove soap and you scrub your leg real hard. After you've been out all day, it's going to be dirty. No matter what your racial background is, no matter what your skin color is, it's dirt. Because we're made out of dirt. A lot of the dust in your home, it comes from outside cracks in your window and stuff, but it also comes from people we shed. We're dusty because we're made out of dirt. And so we are like walking patches of land, which is why God is deliberate in him saying reaping and sowing, just like you reap and sow in dirt. And let's read a couple of passages about reaping and sowing. Pulled up some before I came on. Let me go to my Bible app. Because reaping and sowing, people tend to use that in a negative way, right? They say, oh, you know, somebody does something to them, they're going to reap what they sow. But you can reap and sow good things too. It's not just bad things. And people tend to think that it's only just bad things. You reap and sow, period. You can reap and sow good things as well as bad things. So if we go to Job 4, verse 8, I'm going to read it out of two versions. Well, three. I'm going to read it out of Amplify first. It says, as I have seen those who plow wickedness and those who sow trouble and harm harvested. King James Version says, even as I have seen they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same. And then New Living Translation, which really breaks it down, says, my experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. Okay? So that's talking about doing the wrong thing, reaping what you sow. So let's go into some other scripture. Let's talk about some good things, right? Because it's not all bad. You don't just reap and sow bad things, but the good things just lay by the wayside. No, you will reap and sow the good too. So let me go. I highlighted it. Give me a minute here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Now I'm reading out of Amplified. And I could do the same thing like I did. We did out of three versions. So Amplified says, now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed. That's Amplified. King James reads it, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And then the New Living Translation says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. So it's not saying that those are bad things, right? It's Amplified breaks down because sometimes you can't translate word for word. And so it breaks it down to give you more context of what's being said. That's my favorite translation. And again, Amplified says, now remember this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows generously, that blessings may come to others, will also reap generously and be blessed, right? So you're not being blessed with wickedness. So that means that these are good things. So let's read another scripture about reaping and sowing. And what I'm trying to do is just get you to understand that reaping and sowing it's a two-way street, right? You can reap and sow good. You can reap and sow bad. Okay, so let's go to the verse that we all know, right? When we talk about reaping and sowing, this is the one that people always bring up. Let's go to Galatians 6, 8. And let's do a compare of that too. Amplified says, for the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. King James reads it, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And finally, the New Living Translation says, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature, but those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Okay, and then let's do one more, because I think you guys are getting the point, right? But I like to hammer it on in. Let's go here. Hold on, let me just, I know which one I'm thinking of, but there's so many verses that have so in it. Okay, so let's go Galatians 6:8. That's the one that I was thinking of just now. All right, so let's go there. I was already in Galatians. Hold on. No, I'm sorry. 6:7. There we go. So we was just in 6:8. I just had to go up. Let's also do a compare and read it in 3. Let's start with Amplified. We go, again, this is Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He would not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this and this only is what he will reap. Let's go to King James. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. Now let's go to New Living Translation. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Okay? So let's understand that you reap what you sow, good, bad, or ugly. So, Terrence is here. Let him speak.
You ain't got much to say.
You listening in?
You're not really dealing with it.
Well, I haven't even got to the meat of it. We just got started on what we were just discussing there. You got the meat of it because Terrence and I were just talking about this before I came on. But thank you so much for joining us. We're excited that you are part of tonight's show.
I'm glad to be here. Welcome everybody again. Sorry for being late. I've been doing some extra things.
Yep, he's been sowing some seeds. Some good seeds.
Yeah. So. Breaking my neck to get here and be with you guys.
Well, we're glad that you got here in one piece.
But before you go on.
Uh-huh.
We go to Genesis 3:19.
All right, let's go there. Genesis 3:19.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I am there.
You are?
I am. You want me to read it or you want to read it?
I'll read it.
All right.
I'm going to start with 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
Come on, we are the dirt.
We are the dirt. And, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying earlier, you know, about us, you know, being dirt. And we produce plants. Now look at us being dirt, and the fruit of the dirt is what grows from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have different things that come out of us.
Mm-hmm.
And God is, he's like the farmer, you know, he comes, he tills us, you know.
Yeah.
He uproots all the weeds and he gets us ready, mm-hmm. you know, to receive the his word and to produce in the earth his word.
Mm.
And so if we are, because when he says that we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, we basically some unproductive dirt when we get here.
The bad soil.
The bad soil, you know. And so in order to become good soil, we need a good farmer.
Yeah.
You know, we need someone that knows how to manipulate the dirt and get the dirt ready to receive seed so it can produce, you know, and nurture the seed the way the seed needs to be nurtured in order to produce. And so us being dirt and knowing that's where we come from,
mm-hmm.
we have to understand that even while we're in the earth, you know, we see a lot of these things. And when we come into the body of Christ, we are ambassadors of Christ. So God has assigned us to be like farmers of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see things, we have to begin to till that particular ground and get that dirt ready. We got to uproot weeds because Tanisha will tell you, I'll be out in the yard
mm-hmm.
pulling up weeds, you know, bending my back and all of that because I want my ground to not only be good, but to look good as well. And what's on top of the ground is what's coming from it. And so when you see some good grounds, you're going to see some good crop.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see some fruit. You ain't going to see nothing dead hanging and this, that, and other if the grounds are good. And so we have to really treat our grounds very well. And when I say our grounds, the life in which God has given us, we have to allow him to come in and fully get us ready.
Right.
And till us, you know, to receive his word. And when we receive his word in faith, we can produce that harvest.
Right.
And God's seed is love.
Mm-hmm.
Wholeheartedly, we need a lot of love planted in us so we can produce more love in the earth. And love is unconditional. And so as we focus on getting our grounds ready to receive his love so that we can produce love, if we focus on that, everything will come from love. Anything that you need, anything that's loved is good.
Mm-hmm.
Mama cook a meal. You can get that same spaghetti bowl from a restaurant, but when mama cook it and make it, it has a different taste. It's a different experience because it really, you can taste the love in it. You can taste like that went along with it because that's what was put in it. And so us being, you know, believers, we really need to focus on putting love into the earth. More and more love into the earth. More and more love into the earth. Somebody do you wrong, love them. You know.
And people, you know, I think part of the problem with the body of Christ is that they don't know how to practice. They don't know what that means practically.
Uh-uh.
They have their idea of what it means to love somebody, right? Because
right.
everybody's raised with, for the most part, parents that say they love them, even if it's once every quarter. And so they believe that the things that they did are what their examples of love are. But when we say to love people, I've said it once, I've said it twice, I've said it a million times. Nobody's saying to send them edible arrangements
right.
and take them out for a steak dinner. That's nice, but that's not always love. To love somebody is to be seeking their best interest, to be praying for them, to do what God has called you to do, what you're led to do, and not letting emotions
right.
control the, you know, your dealings with them. That's real love. Now, to get back onto the dirt, mm-hmm. I want to go to what Terrence was talking about, how God gets us prepared so that we can receive properly, because all dirt's not created equal.
No.
If any of you gardeners, raise your hand. I can't see it, but raise it anyway. But any of you gardeners, you know how dirt, there could be bad ground, bad soil. You could want to plant a particular shrub or bush or whatever, and the dirt can't receive it. But let's go. Let's see what Jesus has to say about reaping and sowing and dirt and all that kind of stuff. Let's go to Matthew 13.
Mm-hmm.
And let's start with verse 3. He told them many things in parables, saying, listen carefully. This is in red now, so the Lord is speaking. A sower went out to sow seed in his field, and as he sowed, some seed fell beside the road between the fields, and the birds came and ate it. Mm-hmm. Other seed fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and thorns came up and choked them out. Other seed fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. Mm-hmm. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. So if God, so God is letting you know that there's different types of soil.
Yeah.
Some of it will choke it out. Some of it is not, you know, it's going to grow and then it's going to die off. And some of it is going to produce, and it might produce 60, it might produce 100 because the soil is good. Now, if God has taken the time to cultivate you because you're dirt, right? Because he told Adam, from the dust you came from, the dust you return. We are the descendants. We're dirt too, okay? So if God has taken the time to cultivate you and get you ready so that you could produce, let's go back to what Jesus said. Verse 8, Matthew 13, 8 says, other seed fell on good soil and yielded grain. Some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear and heed my words. He didn't say that the grain was good, bad, or ugly. He just said it yielded because it wasn't about the grain, it was about the soil. He said some other seed fell on good soil. So what you're going to reap is going to be based on the soil. Now, if you're good soil, why would you want bad seed?
Right.
When you might get 60 of what was sown and you might get 30. You don't know what you're going to get. And that's what I was talking about with that situation with Terrence, that I really believe God's grace and mercy spared them people from sowing them seeds because they didn't know what they was going to get as a result. Because a lot of the people he told me were believers. I know the people. He knew the people. So believers can make bad decisions. It don't mean that they're bad soil. It means that they chose this day who they was going to serve, and it wasn't God. They chose to serve a friend or chose to serve whatever. They didn't ask. People perish for the lack of knowledge. So if God is taking the time to cultivate you and you're good soil, you need to be mindful of what grain is going into you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be mindful of what seed you're sowing. Because let's put it in perspective so that you can see it from a practical standpoint. Let's say you buy a property and you want to plant a garden in the back of the property, but the soil is really bad, and you take the time to get the fertilizer and water it, do all the things that's needed, put the nutrients in the ground to prepare so that it can, whatever you put in that ground is going to bountifully grow. Because you obviously have something in mind that you want to plant. And it's good things. You're not trying to plant, like, you know, bad things. Just like when you build a house, if you were to buy land and you want to build a big mansion on it, you wouldn't build a mansion on quicksand. That's foolish. You would want to make sure everything was right and had a firm foundation. Who puts a foundation on quicksand? An idiot. So if you decide that you want to garden and you want good things in your garden, right? So let's say your soil is right. You've tested it. Whatever, you know, is required to know that the soil is good, and now you've deemed it is good. And you're on your way to Lowe's or Home Depot or wherever, Callaway's, I don't know, wherever you get your seed. You stumble upon a bag of seed in the middle of the road. You don't know what it is. It's just a bag of seed. Would you take that seed and lug it back to your garden and put it in, not knowing what you're going to get? You would not. But that's what so many people do.
Mm-hmm.
They make decisions. Don't ask God about the decisions. And they have no idea what they're sowing. But they're good ground, so they're going to reap. They're going to reap whatever they sowed. And they might get a 30-fold. They might get a 60. Be mindful of your seed. Do not allow God to cultivate and get you ready so that you're good ground only to have bad seed put in it by your actions. Because you will reap what you sow. The word of God is clear. It's not just bad. It's good too. Be mindful of even good seeds. Sow good seeds. Like Terrence said, put love in the earth. Guess what? You love is going to beget love. You want love. Oh, I don't have, nobody shows me no love. Do you show people love? Are you sowing it? What are you sowing? Because it makes no sense if you decide tomorrow that you're going to be a farmer. Oh. I'm sorry, I just got an alert that severe thunderstorm. And Terrence said, it's going to rain tonight. And I'm like, no, it's not. And now they just issued a severe thunderstorm for our county. Terrence be on it. But because I keep on track with the weather. But if you decided to wake up tomorrow and say, you know, I'm going to be a farmer, you would not be absent-minded about what you sow. Get to know a farmer who farms for not just the love of farming, but this is how they, this is their livelihood. They plan how they're going to earn income based on their crops, right? Because sometimes you'll be like, you'll hear a farmer say, man, this wasn't a good year because the crop was eaten up by bugs or whatever the case may be. It affects their livelihood. So they're basing their livelihood on their crop. So they're very mindful about what they're sowing. Because they have an expected harvest that they're trying to produce for the sake of their livelihood. And don't you want to live a deliberate life? Do you just want whatever, just whatever, I'm just going to get whatever, I don't care. Who goes to the store, just goes in aisles and just tosses whatever in their basket and don't know what it is? We do everything deliberate but life. Like the totality of it. You're dirt. Also a farmer. You don't have to just be like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening. Be deliberate about the type of harvest you want. What do you want? If you got good soil and you're a farmer and they say whatever soil you, this your soil is so good, whatever you put in, it's going to grow. Man, do you know a farmer would lose it if they knew that? Whatever I put in it, it's going to grow and it's going to be a bountiful harvest. They're going to put all the good stuff in their soil. Think of your life like that. What do you want? And may your seed match your wants. You will not be wanting something but not willing to put the seed in. This is something I teach all of my children. Because kids always want. Come on, parents. They always want. And I always tell my kids, never want something that you're not willing to work for. If you're not willing to work for it, I don't want to hear it. Period. Because you want it at the sweat of my brow. If you want it, you'd work for it. What do you want? Ask yourself that question. How often do we ask ourselves that? What do you want? What harvest do you want in your life? I want you to remove all the limitations. I'm not talking about what your education can get you. I'm not talking about what your, you know, let's put it back in a perspective where it's practical, okay? You got four farmers. All of them have different levels of education. They all got the same soil. I'm talking degree education, not education in farming. They all got the same level of farming education, but two of them have master's and degrees, and one doesn't have a degree, and one don't even have a GED. But they all have the same level of farming, and they all have good soil. So whatever they put in that soil is what they're going to get. It has nothing to do with their PhD or master's degree. Quit putting limits on yourself. So take away the limits right now. Take away what you could do in your own power and might. And I want you to ask yourself, what do you want? Do you want to leave your family an inheritance? Do you want to own land? Do you want to be able to have money work for you? What is it that you want? And then what does your feed look like? And you better not say, I don't know. You know what you do. I don't know what you did last summer, but you do. What do you do day by day? And if you don't know, like seriously, if you just truly have lack of knowledge of what you do, you need to become mindful of the things you do. because it's a seed, and this is a fertile year. This year is fertile, so the enemy going to really try to trip you up and get you all in your emotions. Yeah, forget them. Oh, we going to do this and the other and be ugly and nasty and yada, yada, yada. And then you wonder why everybody else around you is being blessed and it feel like things is going to pop for you because you sowing bad seeds and it's yielding a quick result. It's yielding a quick harvest. What do you want?
What do you want? Tell me.
And do your seed match it?
Right.
What is your seed looking like? Be mindful because you will reap what you sow. Good, bad, or ugly. You're going to reap it. You can't escape that. It's the biggest lie to mankind to say, I got away with it. You are a dirt patch. And everything you do is seeds. You don't get away with nothing. It's a lie from the pits of hell. But what do you want? And sow that seed. I remember I went to an AME church years ago. And they had this new, I had went to this church before. And I almost fell out the window. The first time I went, and it was a pastor. He had been pastor for a long time. He was an elderly gentleman, very kind guy. But when I tell you, the boredom was real. Man, yeah, it was drier than I don't know what. Drier than a turkey that's been in the oven 8 hours too long. Dry. No gravy can't even help that, Jesus. But
that's dry.
That's dry. Lord knows I don't like no dry turkey. I can't eat turkey now. Well, I can if I go on my sabbatical, but I have not eaten turkey in quite a few years. But I remember they had invited me to go back when I went back to this particular city to go to the same church, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, well, man, I thought about almost falling out the window. But I went, and they had this new dynamic preacher. I mean, he was full of zeal and, oh, man. And he was talking about people wanting things but not willing to put in the work.
Right.
And he said, it's like praying for muscles. And that's all you do. You don't do nothing. And I remember that just stuck with me because it sounded so ridiculous. But
right.
But people do it every day in life. They want to look good aesthetically and they want to be healthy, but they eat chips all day. They want their joints to be in good, proper order, but don't drink a drop of water. They don't stretch. They don't do nothing. I'm preaching to myself too. Come on. I do drink water, but I'm having to be more deliberate about drinking my water because I'm getting older. And I can feel when I'm drinking water, I feel it in even my bones. Like I feel it in my bones. But we do this every day in life. We be wanting stuff, but we don't put in the work. We don't put the work in for it. And then we don't get it. And then we be frustrated because I just want to be healthy. Well, eating the backside of a stuffed crust pizza. Come on. And it's the same concept with our lives. I hope you want a good life. I really pray that. Because I say that, but some people don't. Some people are so used to bad things that they don't even desire good things. But I hope you want a good life. Not good according to my standard, but good according to God's standard. Because only he's the one who could deem things good. Right? When he made everything, he said is good. So he is the standard maker of good. I'd say something's good for you and it's totally terrible for you. It's not good for you. So I hope you want a good life according to God's standard for your life of what is good for you. But in order for you to really execute that good life, you're going to have to sow some seeds. You cannot escape that. You can't be ugly, flipping off your neighbor every day on the way to work, ready to run over somebody's cat, be at work, be nasty, have a bad attitude, and you all just want bountiful blessings. What? Stop. That's not what you want. Because that's not what you're going to get. Because men lie, women lie, fruit don't lie. Your fruit going to tell off what you've been sowing. So ask yourself that question, and you don't have to answer it right now. Maybe after the show ends and you're laying comfy, cozy in your bed, Maybe you go to sleep quickly, maybe not. Maybe you don't go to sleep quickly. But I want you to ask yourself that. What do you want? And ask the Holy Spirit, how can I sow seeds to get what I want? And of course, what you want better line up to the, you know, God's word. You can't be wanting destruction to fall on certain people. And I don't know. Talking about good thing. Sometimes people really do be wanting that. They're waiting on the Lord to drop an anvil on this person's head. Don't work like that. But what do you want? And I want you, when you answer that question, I'm not talking about what you can do in your own power, might, and authority, not in your human authority. What do you like? If you could want whatever you wanted, what do you want? Because I've asked God for things that some people might say are absolutely ridiculous. Like I've told the Lord, I want a lot of money and I don't want to work for it. And I mean that. And I'm going to have that. A lot of money. And I said, Lord, I know that your thoughts aren't like my thoughts and your ways aren't like my ways. And you give exceedingly abundantly above what I could have. I already got numbers in my head of what a lot of money is. And so God's going to do beyond that. That's what I know. This is not a pipe dream. This is facts. I just haven't seen it materialize yet, but it's already a fact. Because I ask without limits, and you need to ask and believe without limits as well. Take the limits off tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do some things, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All. Whether you got a degree, you don't have a degree. Whether you have connections, you don't have connections. Whether your family has a good name, your family don't have a good name. Whether you got $2 in your bank account, $2 million in your bank account. Whether you are, you know, on the high end of the social economic ladder or the low end on the social economic ladder. One thing, if you study the life of millionaires, I love biographies and autobiographies. I love reading about people's lives. Fiction, you know, is cool because it shows the imagination of man, but I like to know facts. When you study the life of people who are highly successful based on the world standards of successful, they all have the same, there's a common thread you'll find, their belief and them going after it despite their shortcomings or circumstances, despite even nose and doors slamming in their face. It was a drive that they had to get it. You'll see people who are successful based on that came from money. You'll see people who are successful that came from nothing. Eating canned food. My own family, I saw that. You know, I saw that in my own personal family. You know, we weren't like Oliver Twist, please sir, I want more poor. But at one point, we did not have a lot of money. I remember yellow wrap food and white wrap food. It had no brand. It was just corn. There was no Jolly Giant. There was no... Green Giant. No, there was no Del Monte label. It was just corn. I remember that. Come on. Just corn. Just peas. I remember that.
Hash.
Uh-huh, I remember hash. Oh, I never liked hash. And I remember canned ham. And powdered milk. Come on, somebody, just add
Farina.
Water. No, we didn't have Farina. I think you told me about that. It's like cream of wheat,
hey,
something like that.
That was some good, man.
But I'm just saying that.
Yeah, the butter, the thing.
For the Farina. Yeah, that. I remember you telling me about that, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
You can make it happen. But yeah.
But we went from being on the lower end of the social economic until my dad making a decision to say, I'm not working corporate no more. And we came up. We went from white rat to the name brand. And my parents vacationing every summer and my parents buying brand new cars and us getting all the things that we like. We came up. Because my dad did not care about what his background was. He made a declaration, and that's just what it was. A made-up mind will get you very far. And make up your mind as to what do you want. Don't be willing to just get what's given to you. You are not a charity case. Because back then, when you was a charity, I know when we was, you know, like I said, we wasn't Oliver Twist, please, so I want more poor, but we were, I wonder if y'all even know what Oliver Twist is. Do you know what Oliver Twist is?
Yeah.
I'm asking you. I can't ask them yet.
Yeah, you can ask them. They tell
you. Do you know what Oliver Twist is?
And it's a book.
It's a book, and it was a movie. And he was like an orphan. He was very poor. And one part, he has a famous line where he had eaten his food and he wanted some more. Please, sir, I want more. He was so poor and hungry. Right. But I'm saying we weren't that poor. But back in the day, they would have like charities would give away like boxes of food and all that kind of stuff. And you didn't get to pick and choose what was in your box. And they would allow it even for the people who weren't Oliver Twist poor. Like if you showed up, you would get it. And so we would get them. And, I said they had canned ham and some wilted vegetables. Man, day-old bread. Come on. A block of cheese. That cheese was the bomb, though. I'm not going to lie. It was like the best cheese.
That's grilled cheese.
Oh, my gosh. The best grilled cheese ever. It just came in this huge box. It was a box of cheese. Like, I kid you not.
You break the knife, cut.
You, man, you'll break your fingers trying to get that cheese cut.
You'll crack your ribs.
So you had to take it to the butcher. And the butcher would have to use them industrial machines to cut it because if you had a knife butcher, they would cut the cheese for you if you took the cheese up there. But you didn't get to pick and choose. They gave you a box and you just took whatever. If you didn't like it, you threw it in the trash or gave it to a neighbor or whatever. But you got what was given. That's not your life. You're not a charity case. You don't have to just get what life hands you. You could be deliberate by the seeds that you sow. And just like the farmer who has a end goal in mind for each season, for their livelihood, this is your life. What do you want? What do you want out of it? Be deliberate about your seeds. And when bad seeds come, reject that. I ain't sowing that. The devil, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to get me caught up. I'm not sowing in misery. I'm not doing it. I hear that storm. Yeah, just in case, we're going to start answering some callers because we don't want to sound a little nasty out there. But yes, the takeaway is be mindful of your seeds. You will reap what you sow, good, bad, and ugly. Don't just always look at it as a negative thing.
Right.
Be mindful of your seeds. But I thank God for his grace and mercy, but be mindful of your seeds. Somebody's asking you to do something, you better be asking the Holy Spirit. People perish for lack of knowledge. Perish is to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. God said he gave us a comforter. He gave us a helper to bring us into all truths. So you don't have to lack knowledge. You got the Holy Spirit that resides and lives in you. All you got to do is ask. So don't let lack of knowledge be the reason why you're sowing bad seeds. Ask. Ooh, I'm glad you got home when you did. That storm really is coming down. That sounds terrible.
I'm always around.
Come on. But be mindful. Yes, you are. I will say that I've seen that in your life. Be mindful of your seeds. Be deliberate about what harvest you want in life. It's for the taking. It is for the taking. You don't have to feel like you get in the box with corn or box cheese. And even if you do, you could make it work because we made it work. Those were some good times in life. I remember sometimes lights will go out. I didn't know that my parents couldn't afford the light bill. My mom would make it fun. We had, you know, we would have candles and she make it seem all fancy and stuff, like, ooh, candlelit dinner, and we would roast hot dogs and marshmallows and get little sticks and stuff. Like, she found ways to make it fun. My mom, she was a pretty classy lady, so even when we didn't have money, she always did things with class and made it seem, she pulled out the good, remember back in the day, you had the good candlestick holders, like they were made out of, like, pure silver. She would bring those out and put the fancy candles in it. So it felt like we were having some big fancy dinner and stuff. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that we were broke.
Right.
So maybe you just ain't at that level where you're willing to get what you can, you know, what all that life has to offer. So you can make it work with your canned ham and your hard cheese that'll break your fingers, but you don't have to. You can be deliberate about the harvest, mm-hmm. just like the farmer. Be deliberate about your harvest and be mindful of your seed. Let's pray and let's answer calls. We want to get everybody before and make sure the storm doesn't do anything funky with our internet. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We're grateful for another day and an opportunity to come before you, to lift your name on high, to have ears to hear. Lord, you said, this is words of bread that said, he who hath the ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And Father God, let us hear what you are saying about being mindful of our seed. Let us be good sowers. And let's activate the Holy Spirit that you've given us to bring us into all truth. Let us not walk in ignorance and lack of knowledge. We don't have to. We don't have to do that. And so help us to be mindful and help us tonight, Lord, to take the limits off and to understand and to really let that hit our spirit that we can do all things through you who strengthens us. All things. There are no limits with you. Let us live deliberate lives and seek the good that you have for our lives. To seek to live good lives. Let us all want to live good lives. And if there's anyone who doesn't seek to live a good life, Father God, help them work through that to let them know that they are worthy, that you died so that they can have life and life more abundantly. They're entitled to a good life. And so whatever past hurts or harms or bad teachings or whatever has caused them to not want a good life, let that be removed, Father God. Let them work through that and that they are worthy and they deserve a good life. Despite past mistakes, despite even former bad seeds, they are deserving of a good life.
Mm-hmm.
Let them know that and walk in that. Let it be done in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I'm going to let Terrence start answering some calls.
Get in here. First caller, I'm going to unmute you, get your name and where you calling from. And then I'm going to mute you and we're going to pray over you. And we're going to go on in. 819-412, who are we speaking with?
This is Dusty from Canada.
Hey, Dusty.
Hello.
Ah, it's good to hear from you tonight. Let's pray for you, brother. Wow. Oh, that's in the house. Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for Dusty tonight, Father God. We thank you for evolution. Evolution. You know, it's one thing to, when you evolve, you create an evolution. You're developing, you know, when you evolve, you're developing, you're growing, you're maturing, which can evolve into an evolution. And when you begin an evolution, it's like it says it's the process by which the gradual development of something, especially from a simple to a more complex form. God is evolving you to begin like a evolution in like your environment. It's taking something simple and nurturing it. Something as simple as a hello. You'd be surprised like how many places you can go and like speaking to people is like a foreign language or something. Like people don't want you to speak to them anymore. They look at you crazy, but I tell my wife all the time, I'm like, look, I'm going to speak. My kids like, they didn't speak back. It doesn't matter what somebody does. I'm planting a seed. Because I'm not going to
change who God has made me to be just because somebody didn't respond from an expectation level. I don't care, you know, whether you speak back or not. It's good if you do speak back, but it's not going to stop me from speaking. And so I see you have evolved to that place to where it's a level of maturity to where you are not really focused on what others are saying. You're just going to do what you know needs to be done. And that's evolution. Mm-hmm. You know, you've evolved to that and you're sticking with it. And I see God really using you in that arena. And we just thank God for your strength. We thank God for your obedience. Thank God for your fortitude to stick with it and to be consistent and to know and just to trust God without, like, knowing all of the ins and outs or all of the bells and whistles, you know, what's really going on. You just know that if God wants you to do something, God says it, you do it. Mm-hmm. And that's the best place to be in your life because he is the ultimate source. And we just thank God for that happening for you in your life. All right. So we'll go to 910-821. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Keisha.
Keisha, what's up?
Hey.
Why
Taylor?
Okay, I can barely. Okay, there you go. We turn. Nisha had the mic down. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right, I can hear you. Let's pray for you, sister. It's good to hear from you.
Okay. Yeah. Nice listening to you guys, too. Yeah, it's been a while, right?
Yeah. But we shall finish it again. Let's pray. I definitely got a word for you.
Okay.
Let's see here. I'm going to meet you. Okay, in the house. Where should we go here, Lord? Where should we go to? All right, Psalms 22. Another Psalm of David, verse 1. It says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded.
Hold on. I like that one. Hold on. Let me read that from Amplified.
Verse 5. For you are holy, O you who are enthroned in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered. And in you our fathers trusted, leaned on, and relied, and were confident. They trusted and you rescued them. They cried out to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not disappointed and ashamed. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for Keisha tonight, Father God. We just thank you for just really allowing her to see you like just in a way that she's never experienced you before, because it's like I saw like a crystal ball shows like the shine and in different colors, but it was very watery like, and it gave like off this like different type of ray of light, and it's like a light like no other. And It sometimes, like when you see things that's different and new, you can kind of be afraid a little bit because it's new. You're like, whoa, what's that?
But I hear God saying, you know, you can trust me. You can trust me regardless if you haven't seen or witnessed it before or experienced it. You know, just trust me. Just trust me. And you won't be disappointed. You won't be disappointed. Because there are times where we feel like God is not there. But you have to remind yourself that in the word, it's not about how it feels. It's about what he said. He said that he will never leave nor forsake you. So even when he's quiet, he's there. We might need to turn up our listening volume. You know, some silence, we say it all the time, silence speaks, you know. And even in the silent moments, those he's still speaking. He's still speaking, you know, to basically what I've learned when it's silent is to just basically stick to my guns and stand still and know that God is. You know, there's nothing that God cannot do. It's all about do we believe that he can do it. It's not a matter if he can. It's all about can we believe it. You know, and a lot of times when we are dealing with our belief levels, we have a tendency, you know, to feel lonely, you know, and to feel alone in times. But we have to remind ourselves that what his word says. And so when we trust in him, you're basically saying, I trust the word. Because when you go back to Genesis, he said, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. You know, and so the word was God. And the world was formed by God. And so here we are living based off of the word. We exist because of his word. And so through our own existence, it's proof enough. It's proof enough to trust the word of God. So let us make man in our image. That's what the word says. And so we are here. People call us man, right? We're man. So this is what the word of God said. I don't hear nobody else saying, let us make man in our image. And so with that level of assurance, it removes the fear. It removes the shame. It removes the doubt. And you grow in assurance, you grow in fortitude, you grow in strength, you grow in peace, you grow in joy, you grow in love, you know, and your expectation is always high. You should never have a low expectation when it comes to what God is saying. The expectation should always be high because he always delivers. He said his word would not go out and return unto him void. So Keisha, whatever God has told you, whatever God has said, go back and remember that and trust it and stand on it and move towards it in all their ways throughout the rest of your days of your life. And you will witness so much prosperity. And not just financially, but prosperity in health, prosperity in relationships, prosperity in ideas, prosperity in just throughout life, in any area where prosperity can be plugged in, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. You're going to prosper in knowledge. You're going to prosper in wisdom, you know? And God will use you like never, ever before. Never, ever before. So get ready to see what... Wow. Let's go here. 910. Yellow.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Who are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia.
Hi. How are you?
Great. Yeah, it's been a few weeks since we spoke. And but time be flying, darling. Wow. It's good to hear from you. Let's pray. I'm in the zone. I can feel it. Yes, I can really sense the anointing tonight. I can sense the anointing. Lord, we thank you for Sylvia tonight, Lord. We just thank you for the push. Hold on. I'm getting something. I heard the word perpetual push. Perpetual. Never ending. Push. Never ending push. Toward the things that God has said. It's like the perpetual push. The Lord gave me perpetual. I don't know what that word means to you or nothing, but he'll give me words and I'm like, okay, I'll say it. But what I'm getting is the perpetual push is like perpetual meaning never ending. So you got a never ending push toward the things of God. And so I'm hearing like a non-wavering faith, non-wavering faith, and not giving up on what God has said. Keeping your faith active, keeping your faith in position to produce. Perpetual push, you're pushing. You're never going to stop pushing, getting people. It's like a how you herd cows and sheep, and how the sheep herder would push them into the direction that they need to go to get into this space. And to get them into this space to protect them, you know, to keep the coyotes away, to keep the enemy away, so won't nobody prey on them. So the herder is, the shepherd is protecting you. The shepherd is not only protecting you, but he's praying for you and keeping you covered so you won't be prey. And so I see God using you in that aspect for the body of Christ, because we have a lot of people that have a zeal for God, but they lack knowledge. They're ignorant to a lot of things, but they know this is where they're supposed to be. And God is going to use you to keep pushing them and further to the place that they need to be so that they can be safe and secure. Safe and secure. And through that, what you're putting out is also what's on you as well. God is protecting you because he's giving you vision. He's giving you the eyes to see and to recognize different conditions and to know when it's the enemy, when it's not. You know, and that's a blessing, to be able to recognize foolishness, to be able to recognize manipulation, to be able to recognize greed, to be able to recognize anything that's not of God. And God is going to make it very simple for you, to recognize it and then give you a strategic plan on how to deal with it. Because a lot of us, we get in situations and we allow our situations to get us flustered, and we begin to react to things and we begin to make emotional decisions. But when you're trusting God, you don't get out of character. At least you shouldn't. And when you're trusting God, He gives you the blueprint to to navigate around certain things that you don't really, you don't need to deal with, that you can avoid in life. A lot of things, you know, God gives us, tells us, go right, go right, go right. But yet we'll still choose to go left. A lot of times because we nosy, and a lot of times we feel like we know better than God does. You know, but I'm just going to go anyway. You know, I'm going to figure this out. And then we wind up putting ourselves in a deeper hole than the deeper hole in which it could have been avoided. It could have been avoided. And so the perpetual push, you just keep pushing towards the things of God, and God is definitely going to use you in an area to help so many people grow so that they can go and get everything that God has for them here in the earth. And Lord, we just thank you for that, for Sylvia tonight, Father God. We thank you for the mind of Christ, and being able to govern things from a spiritual perspective, to govern it from a spiritual perspective, and stand on your word, so that it has secured the protection and secured the foundation, and use her to bless. Use her to guide, use her to lead, and to get people where they need to be in their safe place for soul salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. Wow. That was rich. Next caller, 803-991. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, Terrence. This is Casual, South Carolina.
Hey, you doing all right?
I'm well. How are you all?
Wonderful. Is it raining out there?
No, it's dry and chill.
Wow.
Very dry.
I kind of liked it rain because it was almost 100 degrees today, and I'm like, is it July yet? Is it June? Like Texas stuff comes in early. Yeah. Summer can't wait around here. Oh.
Yeah.
Summer can't wait. Wow. They can't wait at all. This is something serious. Let's pray. Lord, I just sense like burdens being lifted. I'm not even gonna mute you. I sense like a weight falling off. You know, weights falling off, like things that have been desired, things that you've been waiting on to happen. And you know, I hear God saying that it's not about waiting on it to happen, it's making a decision for it to happen. You know, because once you believe a particular thing, it's already done. It doesn't happen when it manifests. Like the manifestation is the evidence of what has already occurred. And so I hear God saying, you know, like really, really, really deal with it in the spirit, and begin to frame your world with your words through faith, and understanding that the spiritual things are the real thing. It's real. If it's in the spirit, it's real. Nothing manifests. Nothing is seen unless it happened first in the spirit. And God is going to simplify his word to you. He's going to simplify it. He's going to make it more and more simple every day, to the point you'd be like, I ain't never looked at it like that. I ain't never, long as I've been seeing this, and it's going to be so simplified. And what that is doing, I'm seeing it, and I'm liking it to like I don't know if you're familiar with like drag races, when the cars be burning the rubber before the light turns green and then they take out, you know. It's like you're in that rubber burning stage and the light is yellow. You know, it goes red, yellow, then green. And like you are in position for the green light. You're in position for the green light, and that's what that's has done, and that's how that is in your life. You've been burning rubber, blowing smoke, waiting on your green light so you can go. And I see the Lord releasing you tonight, releasing you of that weight and releasing that break so you can run your race. Fully, so you can really run your race, because not your race is not only just tied to you. It's tied to so many people that you don't even know, people that ain't even born yet. The decisions you make and the steps that you take will not only benefit you, but so many beyond you, and that's what I see in you. And God wants to bring it out. He wants to bring it out. And so lay aside every weight. Just lay it aside. Just put it down and just allow God to use you. Because we want to please God, and I think by us wanting to please God as believers, we think that we have to try to be perfect. You know, we have to get everything right so God won't be mad. You know, but God has already forgiven us, you know, and his love for us ain't going to change. His love for us won't change at all. At all. He did the ultimate rescue mission when Jesus came and gave his life for us. If that wasn't love, I don't know what else is. And that's already happened. It's already been done. Everything that you're going to face in life and go through was already taken to the cross. It was buried, but it didn't rise up. It was buried. Wow. So it's dead. It's dead. And God is going to change your perspective. Really change your perspective on how you see things and how you're going to elevate based on your different view of things and your perspective of things. And it's going to happen quickly. I mean, real quick. But it's just going to come off just a made up mind. Just making up your mind to be like, you know what? All right, I'm going to do this. All right, I ain't going to worry about that no more. I'm going to let that go. I got to get rid of this. And whatever, you know what it is, you know, and because people can become weights, you know, and we could be positioning ourselves to really like help people, but we have to pray and ask God, okay, do you want me to help this person? There's a lot of people need help, but are you assigned to help them? You know? A lot of times we're working on things that we ain't even assigned to. And so God is going to really help you be keen, like more keen in that area so that you can be more effective and efficient for the kingdom of God. And we just thank God for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. That was rich. Wow. Wow, that's good. I was going to go to the next caller, but I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to share something.
I don't know what it is, but you can go ahead.
Well, yeah, I've been dealing with some weight lately, so that was just right on the putting him on the head with that. Said about knowing who you God is assigning you to. You may think of your assignment that it could be a false assignment, I guess, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely, because, you know, Tanisha been on this, the sowing and the reaping. And a lot of times the seed is good. The seed is good. It's just the grounds. It's bad.
Right.
And so we could be really taking a good seed, you know, in good faith and things and being nice and just putting it in some terrible ground. And we're expecting what we've sown to be returned, but it ain't coming because those grounds is terrible. You know, and so yeah, God definitely revealed that to you. Wow. I love it.
Thank you so much, Terry.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We love you.
Love you all too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Look at God, man. Talk to my sister. 682-738.
Hey, how you doing? This is LaShawn from Texas.
Texas in the house. Texas in the house. What's up, Lone Star? Lone Star. Yeah, LaShawn, how are you? How are you? You are a star. You definitely are a star that shines bright. Wow. You look at how far stars are away from where we are placed in the earth, but yet it still can be seen. So that's a bright light. Wow. That's a bright light.
That's confirmation.
That's a bright light. And so, like, when you're looking at a star, and I'm liking you to a star because generations after you are still going to see the light. The distance from where we are to where a star is, I'm seeing, like, generations. So generations after you are still going to see you because of the work. The work that you are doing, have done, and will do will still shine even after you're gone. And I know that means a lot to you as far as your legacy. And but I hear God saying, you know, in your weaknesses, he's made strong. And And I know a lot of times we, you know, especially with our children, we really don't want to allow our children to see us struggle or go through or, you know, be hurt, be down. You know, we always want to be like, we got it all together all the time. But God really wants us to teach our children to just mainly seek him for everything, you know, to the point to where you're like, don't depend on me. Depend on the Lord, because I have my days. I will have my moments. I'm not always strong, you know. You know, that's my goal. That's the mindset that I'm pushing toward, but it's not always like that, you know, me being human, and I have to position myself to get back to that place, you know. And so don't run from being in error, but show the answer. Give the solution to the problem, because the answer is Christ. You know, he'll help all of us. Like,
Like, I really try to tell my children, like, not only do you need them, I need them as well. We all need them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my shortcomings. I have my issues. Daddy ain't perfect. And daddy would never be perfect. But daddy is still focused on sharing the perfect one. So if you ever come into a problem or issue in life, don't call me first.
Mm-hmm.
Call on the Lord first. Because when you do call me and you hit me with your issue, first thing I'm going to ask, have you prayed about it? What mm-hmm. did the Lord say? Because I'm teaching you. I'm training you. I'm training you up to be dependent on God. And not me.
Mm-hmm.
Be dependent on God and not me. That way, my star will shine.
Amen.
What an inheritance to leave. Your children's 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 children. It's to trust in the Lord. To have faith in God. And that's what Jesus taught us. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Just like the one with the issue of blood. Say your faith is what made you whole.
Mm-hmm.
Because you believe. We really have to teach our children to have faith in God. Yeah, we're going through right now. You know, we have this issue or this thing has come up, but I'm trusting the Lord.
That's
fine. Yeah, I acted out today, you know, and I apologize, but I repented. I'm trusting God to work on me in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Continue. You know, but teaching them and training them up in the way that they should go so that they won't depart from it. And that's what's gonna keep your light shining. Turning it all over to the Lord and teaching to be totally dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what you going through? I'd rather go through with the Lord than to go through without him. Just imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through their furnace without him. They wouldn't have made it.
Mm-hmm.
He got in there with them. And the scripture said the fire consumed them not. They ain't even smell like smoke.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And so that's the type of power we're talking about. That's the type of assurance that we're talking about. That's the type of love and care that we're talking about when we teach our children and teach those that we love, you know, to trust God. Quit calling me with everything. If you ain't talked to the Lord yet, don't call my phone. Don't text me. Don't ask me what I think. Because it's my job to teach you the importance of that relationship because we know that God speaks. You just got to be listening in order to hear. In order to hear. And that removes the pressure. That removes guilt. That removes a very heavy burden, a weight off of you when we teach that. And the more of us that teach that, the stronger the body of Christ becomes, the more effective and efficient we be, you know, to serve and to help people get where they need to be in their walk. Wow. And Lord, we just thank you. For LaShawn, Father God, we just thank you for her ministry. We thank you for her growth, development, Father God. We thank you for the fortitude, for her being fortified and being stable and worry-free. In Jesus' name, we thank you for her health being 100%.
Amen.
We thank you for her help
the health of her mind, the health of her body, the health of her finances, the health of her vision, the health of her businesses, the health of her family. Lord, we just thank you for her walking in divine health all the days of her life.
Mm-hmm.
We plead the blood of Jesus over her mind, every idea, everything that she touches, Father God, that you've assigned to her hands to touch, Father God. We pray that it increases and continues to increase, continue to grow, to yield a very lucrative return. We just thank you for it being done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you for your joy. We thank you for peace. Hallelujah. Thank you for restoration.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Like I see, like your fists have been balled up, and now you're just releasing, you know, fist. You know, just relaxing your hands, because the fight ain't yours.
Amen.
Right, ain't yours.
Mm-hmm.
You just say what thus said the Lord and keep moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so you starting to rest more, to really get some good sleep. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No more tossing and turning.
Mm-hmm.
No more tossing and turning. Relax. In Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
It is so. It is so.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Get out of there in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's like you. I see you like a house, and the enemy's been staking your house out. He trying to see how he gonna get in.
Mm-hmm.
He checking to see how your wiring is with your cameras and sensors and all that. He knows that you're secure, mm-hmm. but he's trying to find a way in. We bind it in the name mm-hmm. of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You can't get in that one. You can't get in that one. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, mm-hmm. the people on the way have already been alerted.
mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
Father. Hallelujah. Oh,
thank
you can't
you,
get in. He tried to get in, but he can't. Oh, he tried to get in, man. He's been looking. He's trying to figure out where to get in. But he can't get in.
Man. Oh, my God. She did all that he can do. Yeah, he did all that he can do. Oh, my mama, he did all that he can do. Yeah, he did all that he can do. Oh, my mama can speak to the come on, do it, come on. I can speak to the come on, do it. Hey, my mama can speak to the come on. Oh, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the angels around. I thank you for the shield, Father God, that you're protecting me. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to your name.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your rest. Thank you, Father. Like, imitate male men. You know, trying to deliver packages and he ain't even a mailman. But just trying to find a way to get it. He hijacking the mailman and trying to take his route. But still can't get in because you know your mailman.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
You know who delivers to you.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's a order. It's an order in how you move. And that's how you recognize him because he's trying to put things out of order.
Yes,
and God does things in order. Faith comes out of order.
Thank you, Jesus.
You never got a question. You know what it is. Wow. Amen. Ooh, that was rich. That's ruthless, son. Well, meditate on that one. Meditate on that one. Wow. Meditate on that one. We love you. Thank you for calling. Wow. That's rich. Wow. Wow. That's rich right there. Jesus. Wow. Oh, man. I got to get to this call, man. Wow. 225-454. Who's speaking with?
Hi, this is Karen from Louisiana.
Hey, Karen.
Hey.
You gotta grilling some of that good boudin?
The best boudin is in octopuses. billion rays. Every time I'm heading to Streetport, I have to stop off and go there.
Wow. I tasted it. First time a few weeks ago, and I'm still talking about it. That was some good eating.
Good.
Oh, my God. The flavor. The flavor.
Billion Ray.
Wow.
Yes. They have a location in Opelousas and a location in Croc Springs. So if you going anywhere from like northern Louisiana, coming down the Baton Rouge, you're going to run into either one of them.
Wow. I definitely will. I definitely will, because I got a friend of mine. He's from Louisiana. And he goes down and brings it back, and I'm like, good. Thank you.
Yep.
I got to try that. Let's pray, Karen. Wow. Seasoning. I got the word seasoning. You can have a good meal, you know, but seasoning, it adds flavor. And it can make a lot of things edible. And things that people normally wouldn't eat with the right seasoning is good. You take, if you're a meat eater, I don't know how many people would eat some fried chicken without seasoning. Maybe there are some out there. But when it's seasoned right, the chicken is so good. And that's how it is with our lives without the Lord. You know, God is like our seasoning. He makes us tasty, you know, to those that are seeking him. You don't have to force anything on anybody. God is going to use you in this season, Karen, to where when people ask for it, you're going to give it to them. If they ask for it, you're going to give it to them when they ask. It's like somebody asking for directions. You know, you ain't going to come up and just give somebody, hey, if you go up here 3 miles and make a left, you're going to see this place right here. And then they'd be like, but why are you telling me that? I didn't ask, you know, for that. Well, I thought it might be helpful for you. You know, if you
go that way or this, that, and other. Okay, thank you. You know, but that's not their focus, so it's like they're not going to really be focused on going there. But when people ask for directions, because they are seeking to get to a place, so you give them directions, if you know the directions. If you don't know the way, you can't give directions. But I see God using you because you know the way. And he's going to start sending people your direction. That's going to be looking for direction in their lives. And you're going to give them directions to Jesus, you know. And he's going to use you in this season to really, I see him like rearranging like the way you speak, like your language, to kind of be transparent to whomever you come in contact with. You're gonna say things that triggers them into being into helping them get to where they need to get to. It's a certain language, you know, like where you from, it's just certain words people can say, like, oh, I know where you from. Ah, yeah, man, you cool, blah, 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 blah. You know, certain words, certain things that you say and how you say it. And I see God using you like that to say certain things, you know, that's going to make people understand and know, like, oh, that's real. That's real. I need to listen to this. You know, God's going to use you, and then you're going to be like, what in the world did I come up with that from? Or where did that come from? I've never done that before. But the Lord is saying, just be open. Open to being used. Just be open to be used by him. Being available to be used by him. Being open and available to be used by him so that not only you benefit, but so many others benefit. Lord, we just thank you for caring tonight, Father God. We thank you for making her walk into what you created her to be. Her realizing who she is in you. And we thank you for the zeal that she has. We thank you for the wisdom that she has to spread your gospel, to share your gospel the way you call her to share it. Yeah, it's time to give your perspective, give your view, and share your view with people so that they can come to Christ. Just that simple. But we thank you for that being done in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. 404-453.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Madeline from Georgia.
Hey, Madeline, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. You've been hiding too, ain't you?
That's okay.
Yeah, we can call you out tonight. Uh-huh. Here you are. Wow. Can't yeah. Hide long, can you? Can't hide long. Wow,
No, I can't.
You can't stay away. You can't stay away. And that's good. That's good. Wow. That's good to hear from you. Let's pray for you. Wow.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Madeline tonight. Lord, we just thank you so much for Madeline, Lord. Wow, we thank you for Madeline. Thank you. You are appreciated. You know, living life, you know, a lot of times, a lot of things that we do go unnoticed. It's like children would never know the sacrifices that a parent makes
until they are in our shoes and having children of their own. And so I see God really giving you like a level of expectation for people on different levels. You know, not to expect things that they can't deliver. Even after you told them certain things, it's about them having an understanding of it, a full understanding of it, in order for them to value it and acknowledge it and roll with it. And that's going to remove all anxieties from your life. All anxieties, any worry, any fear, any doubt is going to be removed in Jesus' name from your life because of you seeing it from God's perspective and allowing it to just fall off. Yes. You don't have to battle with people at all. You don't have to fight with them. They either going to get it because they want it. Because if they don't want it, they ain't going to get it. You can share all day. You can talk to you blue in the face. If they don't want it, they ain't going to get it. Yes. Lord, we just thank you for Madeline's health, Father God. We thank you for giving her that peace that she needs, that'd be unexplainable, the type of peace that you have set aside for her. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wow. That's rich. Oh, wow. Jesus' name, amen. Let's go here. 111.
God bless. This is Carmen from Texas.
Hey, Carmen. How are you?
Good, good. Drinking some bubbly water.
Oh, you ain't gonna thirst no more. Quench that thirst. Oh, it's good to hear from you. Let's pray. Wow. Lord, we thank you for karma tonight, Father God. We thank you for I hear the word definite. Like a definite answer. Definite. Let me pull it up. Okay. Definite, free of all ambiguity, certainty, or obscurity. Definite. But that's the word I got when you call it in, like things are becoming like definite in your life. They're being free from any uncertainties. You knowing the word of God, you know that it's definitely going to happen. You know, not that you're thinking that it may happen. You know that it's definitely going to happen. Definitely. It's definite. Why? Because God says. Why? What makes what God says real? Because I believe it. Also,
It's real regardless.
His word is real regardless, but I believe it. And so, yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Oh, that's definitely going to happen right there. Oh, yeah, he said it. It's definitely going to happen. So God is saying, like, with you, everything that he's told you is definite. It's moving with any uncertainties, you know. It's definitely going to happen in his time. Things that you pray for in secret and believe for in secret, things that he told you in secret, is true. You don't have to worry about how. You don't have to worry about when. You don't have to worry about anything. You just walk in knowing that whenever it manifests, whenever these particular things manifest in the natural, you already prepared for it. It's not a shock because that's what you was expecting in the first place. I was expecting it because I prayed for that. I was expecting it because the Lord said that, and I believe that, and that's what happens. That's what happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you for Carmen, Father God. We just thank you for things being defined and definite in her life and in her walking in that authoritative position with that upright posture, knowing that things are happening in full assurance. Full assurance. Not wavering, but walking in full assurance. In Jesus' name. Walking in divine help. God's restoring some things in your life too, Carmen. Pouring water on some things and getting it hydrated so that it can live. Certain areas that have been dry in your life, God's going to water them and so that they can live and produce like I see like ideas that have been set aside and coming back up. And through your thoughts on it is watering it, and it's going to be a reality. It's definitely going to happen. Wow. I'm going to take some of that myself. Oh, that's good. Wow. Lord, we say it's all done in Jesus' name. Plead the blood over in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Well, I think there's everybody with their hand up tonight. And I thank everybody for calling in. Still doing a little raining and lightning and all of that. So we're going to call it a night tonight. And I'm glad that we got with everybody, got to everybody. We thank you all for supporting PGN. Continue to give. Continue to show up. Continue to pray. And continue to believe and expect everything that God has said to manifest. And we love y'all. And we'll talk to y'all again Wednesday. God bless you all tonight.
Good night.